Glory to God. Let's open our Bibles to Deuteronomy chapter 8, the 8th chapter of Deuteronomy. We're going to read in from verse 11. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments, his judgments and his statutes which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full, and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and your gold are multiplied. God's purpose is to multiply what we have, the silver, the gold, the flocks, whatever you have that is good, God wants to multiply. And all that you have is multiplied. When your heart is lifted up, you forget the Lord your God. That word lifted up means becomes proud. When your heart becomes proud and you forget the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. God has brought you from the house of bondage. Alright? And that's what he does. He brings us out of bondage. Who led you through that great and terrible wilderness in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water. Who brought water for you out of the flinty rock. Who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that he might humble you and that he might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. And you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers, as it is this day. I want to speak today about the power to get wealth. There are a lot of things that the Lord wants to show us from this verse and this wonderful truth. We are not going to maybe even scratch the surface today, but I do believe that we're going to go deeper perhaps than you've ever seen this. There are some things you need to see here. God gives his people, God gives you, if you're one of his people, the power to get wealth. Okay? He says, remember the Lord your God. Don't forget, he just said, if you forget the Lord, you'll start to think it's your power that's got you the wealth. You'll forget him. Remember simply means stay conscious. Stay in consciousness. And that kind of sounds a lot of very New Agey to people. But the reality is it simply means to always be in the Word, always be meditating, always keep your faith levels up. Just keep tanked up in faith. Cram faith, and particularly faith for supply, into your spirit man. Now understand this about supply. Supply isn't just God making you as rich as an oil barn, okay? It's not just that. It's not just, oh, billionaire blessing, I'll have some of that, thank you Jesus. It's not just about money per se, in the sense of, well, God will make you a tycoon. God will make you wealthy. God has made you wealthy for a purpose, and that purpose is kingdom wealth and kingdom wealth distribution. So God wants you to have all that you want. You can be satisfied to the full. You can live in the house of your dreams. You can drive a wonderful car, wear the best of clothes, eat the best of foods. But understand this, that's for a purpose. And that purpose isn't just you. You're not just blessed to be blessed. You're blessed to be a blessing. So remember that. Faith for supply. It's so important to keep your faith for supply levels at, you know, just keep overflowing, for the simple reason that you're here to manifest the kingdom. You're here to manifest things from the glory realm. The substance of the glory realm is to come into this realm. Okay, in the sense that this realm is to reflect what the glory realm is all about. So you have infinite wealth in the glory. You have infinite supply in the glory. There's no lack. Everything you could possibly need is there, and that's supposed to be the pattern on earth. So faith is the substance. Now just as we're saying that, it says, remember Yahweh your God, for it is he who gives you power. Now that word power is a very interesting one. It can mean substance. It can mean wealth. So you could read this, it is he who gives you wealth to get wealth. What does that mean? It means that that which is yours in the glory is supposed to show up here on earth too. What you have here on earth is supposed to be an expression or manifestation of what is yours in glory realms. So the infinite wealth that you walk in, the infinite inheritance that you walk in, the superabundance that you have in glory, you're supposed to have here. And it's not that that stuff is there for you in the future. That stuff is there for you right now. You are not a poor person scrabbling about on earth looking to get wealthy. You are a person of infinite wealth and infinite resources sent from the glory realms to manifest as much as you can possibly do here to bless mankind. It's that simple. Express and manifest what's yours. So that word power simply means that you already have the wealth internally inside you. Wealth is an inside job. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven is within you. And you just go around manifesting it. An interesting thing about this word also is it has the meaning of being chameleon-like or actually lizard-like. Okay. So what it means is a couple of meanings to that which will blow your mind. Firstly, chameleon simply means that God will cause you to be who you need to be to get wealth. Okay? Now that doesn't mean that you're going out selling drugs and robbing banks. That's not what we're talking about here. What he's talking about is God will see to it that the situations you're in, you end up wealthy. Abraham went down to Egypt. He told lies about his sister. Well, he embellished the truth about his sister a little bit, his wife, Sarah, tried to make out she was his sister, in the sense of, well, we're just brother and sister and not man and wife. And so he wasn't exactly a faith giant there, you could argue. However, in that situation, God turned it round so that the Pharaoh was, the king was just so scared that he gave Abram loads of wealth just to appease him and just to keep God off his back. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing to think that in any situation, even when you're not really being the faith giant you're supposed to be, even when you're not really walking in the glory that you're supposed to, God can still turn things around for your benefit. All things work together for those, for the benefit of those who love God. Now, the other part of this chameleon-like thing is that you're operating in a world system that is not yet taken over by the kingdom. So you have to function in a world system that is certainly less than perfect and at times downright dirty, downright evil. So you're working with evil folk, you're dealing in situations that aren't the best, so you have to be wiser than a serpent, you understand that? And yet harmless as a dove. So all in all, God will see to it that the wealth that is yours in glory will be manifest here on earth. And he causes you to function here on earth. You're not just so heavenly minded that you're people just think you're spaced out, man. No, you will function and be recognized by other business people as somebody to do business with and somebody who's got all their wits together. That'll what it'll be look like to them. You'll be operating in divine wisdom and they will recognize that you're wise and clever and shrewd. That's the word I'm looking for, shrewd, in your business dealings. So that all works together to get you wealth, if you remember, if you keep it in consciousness. Consciousness is everything in terms of manifestation and expressing what you are and what you have. You are sent from glory realms. You're a glory being, a glory creature. You are created for glory. You're sent from glory. You're seated in heavenly places with Christ. You're already walking in your inheritance in terms of spirit, in terms of glory. But what has to happen is that has to show up here on earth. And that's the job of faith. That's the job of you speaking the word. That's the job of you remembering staying in consciousness. And the reason for that, the reason that God gives you wealth, this is a mind blow, because people think, well, what's it all about? Well, the reason is, it says here that he may establish his covenant which he swore to your fathers as it is this day. God gives you wealth to establish his covenant. Now, the spiritual minded people, and I'm talking about the super spiritual, the flaky people, will turn around and say, oh no, God establishes his covenant by miracle powers, healings, and all these other things, the spiritual things, my brother. Well, that's not what God says. He says to establish the covenant which he swore to his fathers, He gives the power to get wealth. Yes, God is so concerned about the everyday that he gives us something we can use in the everyday. Now, miracles, healings, all the other powers of the age to come and the powers that have been given to us in this age to drive out demons, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, raise the dead, all these wonderful things. Yes, they're available. But notice here he says that he gives the power to get wealth to establish the covenant. That's because God is interested in the society that we live in. He's interested in the city, the village, the way you live in the everyday. It's not just, well, you go to a meeting and you see healings and blind eyes open, that's wonderful. But back here in the real world, see, this is talking about real world stuff. He gives the power to get wealth to show people in the real world who won't come to church, who don't go to healing meetings, who don't read Christian books and don't watch God TV. He gives the power in the real world to get wealth that people's attentions can be grabbed. And that's how he establishes or ratifies his covenant and says to this world and the people in it, this is me demonstrating who these people are to me. They're my covenant people. Now, Abraham, Isaac and Jacob were billionaires, you could say, in terms of this world's wealth. Abraham was so wealthy after going down to Egypt and coming back that he needed a whole country to store all his stuff. His possessions were so great. You know, he didn't just go to storage zone and look for a couple of containers. He had to have a country because his possessions, his flocks, his gold, his silver, so much. And so Abraham had this billionaire blessing. Interesting that this was given. This verse here is being spoken to Israelites under the Old Covenant, which is the covenant made with Israel made with God at Sinai. And they received the law and they received the ceremonial and civic codes of the law, and they were to keep the law so that they could receive blessings and walk in this power to get wealth, this Abraham's billionaire blessing. But it's important to note this, that this power to get wealth and this covenant, the power to get wealth, which is the confirmation and ratification and establishing of the covenant, that was given before the law. That was given before the covenant at Sinai. I think it was Robert Schlieren who pointed out that up till the giving of the, up to the covenant at Sinai, God had been very gentle and with the people of Israel, the children of Israel. But after this, he got a lot harsher, and he got a lot more strict and demanding. And he posited the idea that it was because, it seems from a reading of a text, and we can look it up yourself, that the children of Israel were being quite blasé or glib or arrogant in saying to God, sure, we can keep this covenant, that's not a problem. We'll be your people, yeah, amen. And that they weren't being humble, they weren't being properly reverent, and so God gave them the law, if you like, to show them that they couldn't do it. And they didn't do it, by and large. So, the giving of the law was after the power to get wealth. Now, I believe what it's really, how it worked was that the power to get wealth was available to them, but they had to keep the law to fully walk in it. So, there was a curse of the law that meant if they didn't keep the law, the curse of the law was poverty. So, the billionaire blessing of Abraham, well, included poverty, sickness and other things, and got into bondage again. But poverty was a big part of it. So the power to get wealth simply means the power to have an economy that everybody's prosperous and fruitful. When you look at it in national terms, in individual terms, it's just being prosperous and wealthy. So the power to get wealth was given, but it could be hindered or hampered by failure to comply with the law. So the law was always a stumbling block to this. But the law didn't negate it. It was always there. It was always a power to get wealth. It was given to Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, if you like, in a non-conditional way, but for the people of Israel, they had to abide by the law to properly walk in the blessings of God. Now let's turn to Galatians chapter 3 to see how God dealt with this problem. Because you see, if you are given the power to get wealth, but you can't function in it because you've got a law to keep that you an external code of conduct, which is impossible to keep fully. That power to get wealth cannot fully flow and function in you as long as you're under law. Okay? But the law doesn't do away with it, but it can hinder you because you have to please God by keeping the law. But in this dispensation, friends, in the new covenant, it's a grace covenant. Alright? So, it's faith. Now, Abraham was the father of faith, is the father of faith to those who believe. So he's the daddy of faith. He's the one that we look to, and we understand, well, Abraham walked in it by faith. We're to walk in it by faith, but what about this law problem? Well, Jesus dealt with it. Galatians chapter 3 says, Christ has redeemed us. Now, let's just read in from verse 10. That as many as are of the works of the law, in other words, if you're following after the law, you're under the curse. Because cursed is everyone who does not do or continue in all things which are written in the book of the law. So no one, verse 11, says justified. No one is justified by the law in the sight of God. He says that's evident. That's clear. Because the just shall live by faith. The law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. So if you live by the law, you're judged by the law. If you live by faith, then it's a different paradigm altogether, a different dimension. Then it says the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by it. Then look at this, verse 13. Christ has redeemed us, bought us back from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. That obstacle, that hindrance, Jesus became a curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs a tree. Now, what's the purpose of this? Why did Jesus do this? Well, he did it for our sins. He died that we might receive eternal life. He did it so that by his stripes you were healed. There are so many benefits of Jesus hanging on the cross. But look at this one. That the blessing, verse 14, that the blessing, Jesus was cursed, became a curse, that is, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the nations in Christ Jesus. That we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. We'll look at that in a minute. The blessing of Abraham. What blessing? That billionaire blessing. That power to get wealth. That infinite, unlimited ability and capacity to function in superabundant wealth. Billionaire blessing, as I call it, of Abraham. Jesus became a curse to get that on you and I. Isn't that remarkable? Jesus became a curse to get wealth making power upon us in such a way that there was no more hindrance. The ability from God to produce infinite wealth, his infinite power, to get as much wealth as it's possible to achieve, obtain, receive on this earth, as long as you are fully functioning in consciousness, you still have to be that. In other words, you still have to be in faith, because the just shall live by faith. If you're watching soaps, reading trashy magazines, and not studying the word, not being conscious of these things, you're not walking them. But the law is no longer there to hinder you, i.e. the curse of the law, if you fail to remember. You're not under the curse of the law anymore. You're not reachable by it. Jesus became that curse to get that power upon you. Now, the power back then, before Jesus died on the cross, that power was with them, that power was for them, to a certain extent that power was upon them. But here's the thing, that power was not in them. Because they weren't new covenant people, the power of God had not come to dwell in them. That's why it says that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's no longer just God's power with you, for you, upon you, doing everything it can to help you. Now the promise of the Spirit means the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit has come to empower us by living in us and being our source of infinite supply within us. Not just behind us, for us, you know, cheering us on, helping us, sending angels. These things are all still with us. But the reality of it is that Jehovah Jireh lives in you. The one who provides, the one, El Shaddai lives in you. He lives in you. The power is within you now. The kingdom of heaven is within you. That power is now hardwired into your spirit man. And you're now a creature from the glory. You're seated with Christ in heavenly places. Set your mind and affection and heart on things above, because that's where you're coming from. You're no longer just running about like an ant here on earth trying to do something that'll get you a few bucks. You're now sent from heaven with infinite supply hardwired into your DNA. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that amazing? It's wonderful. The power of God to get well. Now, let me just say this to you. We need to understand. People say, well, that's Old Covenant. Well, it isn't Old Covenant. It's Abrahamic Covenant. The Abrahamic Covenant is the master covenant that governs and overarches the Old and the New Covenant. In fact, the New Covenant is the fulfillment of the Abrahamic Covenant. Okay? God made covenant with a man called Abraham. And then he asked Abraham to give him his son. That wasn't to test whether Abraham loved God more than he loved his boy. That's just religious junk. Okay? He did it because he was displaying to Abraham, or telling Abraham, a covenant message that by the terms of covenant, if a man asked you for your son, you had to be prepared to give him your he had to be prepared to give you his son. So each party to the covenant, if they made a demand in covenant, they had to be prepared, if they had it, to give the same back. And so God was telling Abraham on Mount Moriah, I have a son. And Abraham saw this, he said, God will provide himself a lamb, the offering. God will provide himself these things. And Jesus says, Abraham saw my day and was glad. Amen. And it says that the gospel was preached before to Abraham. So Abraham understood that God had a son because God had asked him for a son. Okay? So Abraham saw the Lamb of God. He understood that God would become a lamb because God had asked him. And of course, Abraham believed that Isaac would be raised back from the dead. That God would do that, because he understood, if God's asked me for my boy, he's not going to kill my boy. It's not about killing my boy. This is about getting God's son into the earth. I don't know how much of that Abraham understood, but I know that he understood enough to rejoice. I know that he understood enough of covenant to see that God will provide himself a lamb, and that God had to have a son because he'd asked Abraham for his son. Oh, a wonderful truth. Amen. I mean, when I start preaching, I just go off. And I don't have time to do that. So we're sticking to the subject here. But Abraham was a covenant man, and the covenant included the power to get well. Now, that power is not just for the Old Covenant. Let's just turn, please, to a couple of things, a couple of verses, a couple of things we need to look at. Acts chapter 1. Verse 8, it says, you'll receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It says that here in Galatians chapter 3, verse 14. You might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, Acts chapter 1 says this, verse 8. Jesus talking to the disciples. You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Alright? You'll be my witnesses. Now look, you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit's come upon you. Now look what it just said here in Galatians chapter 3. The blessing of Abraham might come upon the nations in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. It's talking about the same thing. And what if you put these two verses together, you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. The blessing of Abraham come upon you. The promise of the Spirit. What he's saying is that Abraham's blessing, the power to get wealth, was not fully manifest until Jesus died on the cross, removed the curse of the law, and allowed the power of God to get wealth in the Abrahamic covenant to come fully upon the people, because the Holy Spirit would come upon them and come live in them. Isn't that amazing? Now, if you say, well, doesn't speak about the power to get wealth there in Acts chapter 1, verse 8. Oh, yes, it does. It does if you're a Greek scholar, or you know your Greek. You shall receive power, it says. Dunamis is the Greek word, and the Greek word has several meanings. It can be medical power, supernatural power, great strength, ability, might. And one of the meanings is the power or influence of riches and wealth. In other words, the power to get wealth. You shall receive the power to get wealth. Now, understand what I'm trying to come across. Yes, I'm talking about the power to put money in your bank account. The power to put money in your fists. The power to fill your wallet full of £20 and £50 notes. Or dollars if you're American. Now listen to this. Listen to this. It's not just that in terms of just hard cash. What he's talking about here is the power to get wealth in the broader sense, meaning you will receive economic dominion in the earth. Financial power is necessary, essential as part of that. That's the way the world works. That's the way the system's set up. But it simply means you'll receive power. Now, understand this. Men seek money to get power. To have the power to live their own life. That's what people want money for. To have the power to say, I'll work when I want, where I want, I'll do what I want, I'll wear what I want, I'll drive what I want, I'll live in the house I want, and I need money for that. Because they want the power that money brings them. The ability that money releases. But, so the world is chasing money to get power. God gives the power to get money. He reverses the whole thing. You have the power right now to make choices and decisions. The power is yours. Only in the world system do you have that power once you have the money. If you don't have the money, you don't have the power. In the world system. But God gives you and I the power, and the money flows on from that. He reverses the system. The world system is reversed in the kingdom. God gives the power. You just maybe don't know you have it. You're maybe not conscious of it. You haven't remembered it's the Lord your God who gives you power. You're looking for it in your job. You're looking for it in a business. You're looking for it living by your wits. But it's God who gives the power to get wealth. Amen? Understand that. It's a heavenly power. It's a supernatural power. It's a glory realm power. And it isn't off somewhere that you have to go seek it. You already have it. You shall receive power. If you're not baptized in the Holy Ghost and have as much of the Holy Ghost as you want or need, get it. Because it's yours. Yeah, if you're born again, the Holy Spirit's come to live in you, but you need to be baptized or immersed in the Spirit. And let's not get religious ideas about that. It just simply means to be engulfed by and immersed in the Spirit of God, because you want God so much, you just have to have more of Him. And the speaking in tongues and all the stuff that goes with it, that's just part of the program. It's wonderful. But you need that stuff to function in this fully. So the Holy Ghost is given to get power. The Holy Spirit is given to get power. Now that's not our only power source. That's not our only power source. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and you'll see it isn't. Because we're coming back to, in a sense, 101 Christianity. Stuff that we've always known, but we've always related it to other stuff like walking with the Lord and walking in love and all that stuff. And that's all good and well. But we've always looked at it as some kind of spiritual thing. Alright, Romans chapter 1 verse 16. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Now listen to this. We're not talking here about salvation as in you don't go to hell when you die. Okay? That's big, big, massive part of it. But salvation doesn't just mean that. It means that you're saved from sin, saved from sickness, saved from oppression, saved from the curse of the law, saved from poverty, saved from darkness, everything you can think of, that you are totally saved here and now in the temporal realm as well as in the eternal realm. So we could say the gospel of Christ is the power of God to get wealth in the financial realm as much as it's the power of God for anything else. Remember Jesus said that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach the gospel to the poor. Jesus preached a message to poor people that set them free from poverty. Not just you'll have a little cabin in the glory land, but you'll prosper here and now. So the gospel, in other words, the Bible, the word of God, what God said, the good news of God's word, is also the power of God, or the dunamis power, the power to get wealth. So your Bible that you have in your hand is a wealth-producing book when it comes out of the printed page and into your mouth and you speak it, particularly when it comes to supply. And the Holy Ghost himself is given to you to give you the power to get wealth, i.e. to function in the marketplace, or function in the everyday. Alright? Because the everyday is the marketplace. Now, you look at the analogy of the seven mountains, there's all these different seven mountains of culture, and one of them is the church mountain. But if you just stay in the church mountain, you're not being effective in the world that you live in. If you're just huddled up in church, in a holy huddle, the four walls of church are really all that you want to know about. You have to break the walls down, and you have to have the power to get wealth. And by that, what I mean is function and out there in the world, and display to the world that you are a child of God, that you are a beyond human capacity, that you're not just an ordinary person, but that you're the son of God or a daughter of God. The manifestation, all creation waits for the manifestation of the sons of God. To as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. The sons of God have the power to get wealth, the authority to get wealth. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, meaning seek ye first the kingdom and your right to walk in kingdom power. Walk in kingdom exousia, authority. Walk in the power, as in authority and as in the actual power to get wealth. The actual power. Now, let's just flip back to Galatians chapter 3 to show you something. Galatians chapter 3. We've been reading up to verse 14. Now look at verse 17. Verse 16 says, now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He does not say to antecedents as of many, but as of one, to your seed, who is Christ. Jesus is the seed of Abraham. Christ is the seed of Abraham. Verse 17. This I say, that the law which was 430 years later, which the law was given 430 years after the covenant was made with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, you know, the Abrahamic covenant, 430 years on from that. The law cannot annul or negate the covenant, the Abrahamic covenant, the covenant with God that God made with Abraham, Isaac and Jacob. The law can't annul that or negate it. As I said, the power to get wealth is still there. The law can't destroy it or negate it, but failure to comply with the law can mean that you're hindered and hampered. That's why the curse of the law had to be removed. But look what it says. The covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ, that it should make the promise with no effect. The covenant that was confirmed before by God in Christ. The covenant that God made with Abraham, and we've just read verse 16, says the seed of Abraham. God confirmed that covenant with Abraham in Christ 430 years before the giving of the law. In other words, long before the giving of the law, the covenant was confirmed by God in Christ, ratified, established by God in Christ. But we read that in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, that the Abrahamic covenant was established by the power to get wealth. The power of God to get wealth. God gives you power to get wealth, that he may establish or ratify or confirm his covenant. Now, combine these two verses, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, with this one here in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 17. It says the power of God is what establishes the covenant, confirms the covenant. But it says here that Christ confirms the covenant. God in Christ confirms the covenant. What does that tell us? Put the two verses together and it tells us this wonderful, glorious, liberating truth. Jesus Christ is the power to get wealth. Christ is your power to get wealth. Christ is the answer. That's why so many religious people or religious spirits try to get people to believe that Jesus was some poor hobo wandering around catching meals off people. Nothing could be further from the truth. Yes, Jesus identified with the poor, and we should too, in the sense of that we humble ourselves and connect and engage with the poor to bless them. Jesus did. Jesus gave them of his wealth. Now listen, Jesus is the power to get wealth. It ought to be, brothers and sisters, that people become Christians, and they're attracted to becoming Christians because that's the route to economic success. Now you say, well, those are carnal reasons. Brothers and sisters, let's be real honest. Loads of people get saved for all different kinds of reasons. People used to get saved because they watched films about Antichrist, and they'd be terrified. They'd leave the church or whatever, the hall that they were watching these films in, absolutely scared witless, and would run down to the front to give their hearts to Jesus because they didn't want to get the mark of the beast and get their head cut off. Okay? Now, that's a carnal reason for if anything is. All right? Many people have gone to church, many men have gone to church, because that's where all the pretty girls were, and they ended up being down at the altar call and receiving Christ. You know, let's not get all super religious about why people come to Jesus. We've already said that salvation covers the whole array and gamut of things in terms of its temporal blessings as well as it is eternal. So let's not get all super spiritual and say, well, people shouldn't be coming to Jesus because, just to get rich. Now listen, you could argue that the disciples did. Bear in mind, these disciples that Jesus chose, they weren't priests or holy men or religious professionals. They were businessmen. And they had families to feed in some cases. Peter had a family. So they left all and followed him. But now they decide that they just wanted to become super spiritual, live like hobos, neglect their family's needs, and just be, you know, holy men, but with no money, you know, wandering around, next to begging and living like hobos. Do you really think that all these men, Matthew, just left being a tax collector and just to do that? What was it attracted them to Jesus? Was it that Jesus was dirty, smelly, unwashed, tramp, and they thought that was a great life to live? Or did Jesus show something in his demeanour, in his bearing, in his very presence, that they think, I want some of that. I want to live with him. I want to live with a king. Here's a king come among us. And he's telling us that if we follow him, we'll be kings too. Come on, friends, it's time to wake up. If you haven't woke up yet, slap your own face right now and say, wake up. Awake you that are asleep. I'm going to say, awake you that are perishing, but the only perishing you're maybe doing is just that you're perishing in religious bondage. Get out of that. This is your call to get wealth. This is your call to be a rich man, a rich woman. Okay, not so that you can lord over others and be J.R. Ewing. It's so that you can be a blessing. It's so that you can fund ministries. It's so you can be a fountain of and a dispenser of kingdom wealth, not only to gospel purposes, but to the poor. Remember the early church? People always want to be, oh, let's go back to the days of the early church. Let's be early church people. We need to go back to that primitive time. Well, yeah. And what people mean by that is, oh, let's have miracles again. Well, there are miracles today. But what the early church did was that the folks with money sold what they had and gave it to the folks that didn't, so there could be parity and equality, and nobody would be poor in the kingdom or the church, the ecclesia community. There would be no poor people, because that would be a disgrace. Now let me tell you something. You want the early church, that's what needs to happen. Okay? That's the one thing people say. It's always interesting to me how people say, well, of course, that was the early church, that's not for now. And yet these are the people that say they want the early church. Come on, wake up! This is kingdom wealth. This is bringing the kingdom to earth. Now, you're not going to go poor. You're not going to do without, because there'll be so much money coming. It also includes the money to get the money transferred from the wicked system of this world to ours. So there'll be plenty for you. Don't you worry about it. Don't you get all fretted that if you give it all away, you're going to end up, you'll be the hobo. That's not going to happen. No poor men. Nobody begging bread. in the kingdom, friends. The kingdom is a kingdom of abundance. And you don't need to worry about the love of money being the root of all evil. Yes, that's something we all need to guard against, because we all need to guard against stuff that could trip us up. But you don't need to get so bent out of shape that, well, I don't want any money in case I get the love of money. Well, that's just foolishness. That is just absolutely foolishness. That's like saying I don't want any food in case I get gluttonous. Okay? It's foolishness. You need to get rid of all those baby ideas that you have. And foolish ideas that you think you're being holier than God. See, a lot of that stuff is us just thinking that we're more righteous and holy and pure in our thinking than God. God doesn't have a problem making the power to get wealth a big, big part of everything, because he knows you need to live here. Well, you know, I'm destined for heaven. Well, we're all going to have a different life in the future, if you want to call it that. But we have to live in the here and now. And why live poor and under-resourced? And let the kingdom and the church and the gospel be under-resourced, and the poor still go on begging and, you know, doing without. Why have that when you can change it? You can change it by walking in the power of God. You don't even have to receive it, because you've already received it. It's yours. The power to get wealth is yours. It was given before the law. So if you're still legalistic minded about the law, well, you know, this, that and the next. Listen, the power to get wealth predates that. And it was confirmed in Christ. And it was confirmed and manifest as the power to get wealth. Did you realise that the Jesus in you wants to get out there? The Jesus in you wants to display his power out in the world. Maybe part of the reason we're not seeing as much of the power of God in church as we would like is because it's not meant to just be in church, and he's trying to poke us and shove us out there. The power to get wealth is the power to function in the marketplace, in the world system, out there where the rubber meets the road. And as you display your miracle, dunamis power to people to get wealth in your business, in your job, or just through miracle means or whatever, as you display that, and you'll also show that you have the authority, the exousia, to walk in these things. As you do these things, as you walk in these things, then the world will take note. Now, I urge you to read Isaiah chapter 60, where you'll see the power to get wealth functioning. That template of what life in the kingdom is meant to be when the power of Babylon is broken and Babylon, old Babylon, falls into the sea screaming. People, the merchants of the earth, wailing and howling. Why? Because money's been wiped out? No, because money's been transferred. Now listen to this. We're talking about covenant. Covenant is made in the hand. Blood is cut. The flesh is cut. Normally in the hand. Jesus had both hands cut as he hung on the cross where blood flowed out. Covenant marks are in his hands. That's where the power is. Turn with me to Habakkuk, please. Let's just have a little look at this before we close off on this. Turn with me to Habakkuk, and it's in chapter 3, okay, verse 1. A prayer of Habakkuk the prophet on Shigionoth. O Lord, I've heard your speech and was afraid. O Lord, revive your work in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, make it known. In wrath, remember mercy. Then it says, God came from Teman, the Holy One from Mount Paran, Salah. His glory covered the heavens. We're talking about the glory. We're talking about the glory. His glory covered the heavens. The earth was full of his praise. That means a situation where the glory of God is displayed and the earth is praising God for the glory. The kingdom has come. Kingdom come. The kingdom is manifest among men. Revival is taking place, if you want to call it that. Then look at this, verse 4. His brightness was like the light. That's just like Isaiah chapter 60. Arise, shine, your light has come, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Amen. This is the same thing. God has destroyed Edom here, which is it's an enemy of Israel. Verse 3, Teman and Mount Paran, they're symbolic terms for Edom. So the Edom-Babylon world system has been destroyed. Then he says his glory's all over the place. It's all over the heavens. The earth is full of praise. The brightness is like the light. This is Isaiah chapter 60 country. Okay, now look at this. He had rays, and the word here, rays, means rays of power, flashing from his hand, like the sun. And there his power was hidden. There his power was hidden. God's power is hidden in his hand. What power? The power to get wealth. It's covenant power, because the hand is always denoting power and covenant. When it speaks about God's hand, it's always about power, his power and his covenant. The covenant is made with the hand. Saying the same thing we've just looked at. The power to get wealth was confirming the covenant. The covenant was confirmed in Christ. The covenantal shedding of blood on the cross, removing the curse of the law, confirming the covenant, establishing the covenant. How does he do that? By giving us the power to get wealth. Jesus did it. That's where his power was in. So when Jesus' hands were pierced, the power flowed out. The power to what? The power to remove every curse of the law, every curse of Adam, everything that holds you back, every sin, sickness, disease, shame, dishonor, darkness, poverty. It's all been taken away. The power of God flowed out of his hands and wiped the debt out. It wiped out the debt. He did it by releasing his power when the blood of Jesus flowed out, the covenant blood, the blood of the everlasting covenant that makes you perfect in every good work to do his will. And you're perfect because as he is, so are we in this world. And as you walk in consciousness of that, as he is, he ain't poor. He doesn't have a begging bowl. He's not short of funds. He's not under-resourced. Neither are you in the kingdom, because you are a creature sent from glory into this dark world to change this dark world, kick the darkness off this planet, and manifest the light and glory that is in you and that comes through you from above. And that includes infinite resources, infinite supply, the infinite eternal kingdom of God that cannot fail, that cannot perish, that cannot be diminished in any way. If anything, you could say it keeps on growing, but it's infinite anyway. If he didn't have it, he would just make it. Okay? But the Bible actually teaches that we're already resourced, we're already blessed, we already have everything, and people that have been to heaven or have seen this in the spirit like myself, there are warehouses in heaven with everything already in them, inventoried for any need of healing or supply or blessing or whatever it is that any saint could ever ask for. The resources are there. You just have to use faith to bring them through the transporter beam of faith from the realm that is faster than the speed of light into this realm where molecular structure is slower than the speed of light, which means light can bounce off it, in other words the visible realm, and manifest those things here or their equivalent here. And if it means that God has to send stuff to you because you're a magnet for the wealth anyway here, the power of your wealth is in you. Now when you start meditating, and when you understand and have revelation of these things, stay in it. Remember Yahweh your God. Remember Jesus is your power to get wealth. Remember the power to get wealth is in you. And that we always remember the cross. You know, loads of Christians always go on and on about the cross, but they don't understand the cross. They just think, oh, Jesus forgave me at the cross. That's just a small part of it. It's a big part of it, but it's just part of it. It's not everything. Okay? And don't just stay at that place. If you want to think about the cross, think about what happened at the cross in the divine exchange, that your poverty, misery, shame, nakedness, darkness, wretchedness was all exchanged for his glory, his wealth, his life. All of it is now yours. the wonderful nature of God. It's now your nature. You're partakers of his nature. So that nature, there's no poverty or lack in it. He lacks nothing. He lives in opulence. He is superabundant. He is the definition of superabundance. And so as we meditate on that and realize that we are just like him, because we're born from him. We're born from above. The seed of his word is in us. His Holy Spirit lives in us. We're born of the Spirit from above. We're born of the word. We're born from him. We're creatures of glory. We came from the glory. We're sent down from heaven above. We're not earthly creatures seeking a heavenly God. We're heavenly creatures having an earthly experience. And part of that experience is manifesting the infinite supply that belongs to us through him, by him, and for us on this earth. May the Lord bless you superabundantly, and may the power to get wealth, I don't need to pray the power to get wealth on you. It's yours. Just learn to walk in it, friend. God bless you.